you're going to sin, but if you ask for forgiveness, God ain't really even going to know what you're talking about, right? Well, I can get more housework done, not worrying all the time. Whoa, gosh, I feel like crying, really. I don't know whether to dance or cry. Oh, no, maybe I'll do both.
This is Truth Time Radio.
Truth Time Radio, how are you today?
I'm good. Okay, I do have a question. All my life, I've asked for forgiveness. When I know I did something wrong, I'll say, forgive me. I'll feel really bad about it. What is wrong with that? I'm trying to understand. I understand now, and it's clear that when Jesus died on the cross, it was finished. He did that to forgive us from sins. But are you saying you should not ask for forgiveness when you do something and you know it's wrong?
Do you have your Bible near you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. But now I'm going to be slow looking things up.
Okay, that's no problem. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay, now that's in the New Testament, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm here. Okay.
2 Corinthians 5, and look at verse 19.
Okay, to wit, that God was in Christ by the agency of Christ, that's in red in parentheses, reconciling the world into himself, not imputing their trespasses onto them, and has committed unto us the word of
reconciliation. Okay. Now, if you'll think about that first part there, not imputing, what that is, Lisa, that is an accounting term. Let's say you pulled up to your bank teller, and let's just pretend it's a spiritual, heavenly bank that we're pulling up to, not a physical, tangible money, but it's a spiritual bank. And you pull up to your teller and you say, ma'am, how many sins are in my account? How many sins is God presently at this time imputing into my account? And she comes back and she says, Lisa, there's none. There is no sins being imputed in your account. Jesus died on the cross. He died for everyone's every sin. He was buried and he has risen. So what that verse is telling you, Lisa, is that presently, at this current time. Now, we can look in the Bible and we can go back and find a time where sins were being imputed. The Apostle Paul, he says, Jesus revealed to me that no more sins are being imputed into your account.
Imputed means, give me the definition. I think I know what it's
charged to. No more sins is being charged to Lisa.
Oh, okay. In God's eyes.
In God's eyes, there is zero sins being charged to their account. So if they missed heaven, why would they miss heaven? Because they did not believe and trust on the Lord Jesus Christ as having forgiven them of all their sins and having risen to justify them before the Father.
Oh, well, that's amazing to me. I mean, I've always worried every little time when I do wrong, and I do a lot of wrong. And I even think, well, when I get this straightened out in my life, I'll go to church. People, I don't know, you're kind of the opposite. I mean, and as far as like tithing, you know, I thought you give your 10%. I heard you say that's like living off the land and what is in your heart to give. That's when you give.
Yes.
Not money to the church in the offering.
Well, yeah, what it is, Lisa, there is, again, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, you've probably heard me say, rightly divide the word of truth.
Yes.
So when we go to scripture, you're right. There is a part in your Bible. It's speaking to Israel. It's not speaking to us today, but it does instruct that says give a tenth. But then there's also another part in the Bible where Paul, and again, it's over here on the other side of the cross, and it says that you do not give out of compulsion, out of necessity, but you give as you purpose in your heart. So I could purpose in my heart to give 5%. And then next month or next week, whenever I give again, I could give 7%. And you know what? Under grace giving, some people often give more, way more than 10%. 10% is not a whole lot. So that's what's called grace giving. And that was communicated to us through the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. But you're right, it used to be another way. And that's why, Lisa, we have to rightly divide the word of truth so we know where to go in the Bible where we can find the instructions to us.
Okay. And like you made the point the other day, now, I don't remember well, so I'll probably get some of this wrong, but that the first covenant was with God and the people before Christ. Mm-hmm. And then the second covenant was to Israel, telling, didn't God give them a law, two tithes?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay, and then Paul comes along, and are you saying that God was only speaking to Israel when he said that? Maybe it was even a law that you had to give 10%. It was instructions from God to Israel, right?
You're right.
Now, Paul come after that.
Yes, ma'am.
What is Paul saying the difference is? Of course, we don't live in Israel or Israelite. Mm-hmm. So, what does Paul say anything concerning that? The second covenant and about giving, and then he comes along and he explains, like, through the land, or if you feel a need to, I don't know, buy somebody a car, you buy them a car.
Yes. Yeah, that's grace giving. That's, in other words, you just said it exactly right. If I wanted to buy someone a car, if I wanted to buy a church that I thought preach the correct doctrine, a church van to go around and pick up people. So it could be a lot of money, not just a tenth. You could wake up in the morning and it just be on your heart to go give someone something. That's how we do it. We don't do it as a law, which means you don't even have to think about it. You just look to the law and whatever it says, you do. That's not how we operate today.
Why does churches, not just the ones that preach about prosperity, but just your normal everyday preachers. I mean, every church I've went to has never, they encourage you to tithe. And I know a lot of people, and I have been like that at times, that don't go to church because when the offering plate comes around, then you know, they feel guilty if they don't have money to put in there.
That's right.
You know, my friend Vicky does that. She actually quit going to church because it embarrassed her, you know, about tithing. And
yes.
I thought, gosh, you know, now, there's something wrong with that.
That's exactly right. It's a very good point you just made. And a lot of church, you know, they've become more like a business It's sad to say. Let me get you to go to Jeremiah. This is an Old Testament book.
The book. Okay. What Jeremiah? Is it the four numbers?
That would be back up. Like you'll have in the Old Testament, you'll have a list of the prophets. You'll see Isaiah and the Song of Solomon, and it's after Job and Proverbs, and you'll come along, and there's Jeremiah. If you see Ezekiel and Daniel, you've went too far.
Okay. After Proverbs, you said?
Yes, ma'am.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go to chapter 31.
At the end of this conversation, because I have doubted my salvation, mostly because I am disobeying God, and I question all the time if I'm really saved or not. I thought I was, but, you know, I want to be sure.
Yes, ma'am.
I love Jesus. I do. I mean, there ain't nobody like him, but I want to go to heaven. My son, I want him to go to heaven and be there with him. Okay, chapter 31, what verse?
Okay, look at verse 31 and read that for me.
Okay, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah.
Just stop right there and think about what you just read. Now, not what churches tell you. Just think about what God just told you through the prophet Jeremiah. The days are going to come when the Lord, he said, I will make a new covenant with who? With Lisa? With the Corner Baptist Church or the Church of God? No. With the Seventh-day Adventist, with the Episcopalians or the Catholics? No. With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. There is no new covenant for anyone else except for who God says there is. Just like the preacher stands behind the pulpit and misapplies the verse that tells you you got to tithe, there's also preachers telling you that the new covenant's to you. Well, show me the verse.
No, it doesn't name us. You have to take it as face value with Israel and Judah.
Yes, ma'am. And so if you're not a part of a tribe, they were tribal people, that's not us, and they lived off the land, that's why they tithed from their land, and they were promised. That was a part of prophecy, promised land to Israel. It was promised to the fathers of old. To Israel, not to Gentiles. Now, I want you to turn to Romans. Now, this is in the New Testament, Lisa, over past Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let's go to the book of Romans. And while you're going there, the doubting your salvation, yeah, that needs to come to an end because you...
Yeah, it's not right, and no. I know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even asked the priest, you know, preachers and preachers' wives, and more or less, they say, you're humble, you're interested in stuff like that, and I am. But no, I doubt it all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And I want to get it right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm in John.
Yeah, just keep right on going, and you'll find Romans after the book of... Go ahead and go through the book of Acts.
Okay, I'm in Romans.
Okay. Now, if you can go to the 11th chapter, and while you're doing that, you know, you were asking a few moments ago, I think we started the conversation, you were talking about asking God to forgive you, asking God to forgive you, and asking God to forgive you. I used to do the same thing, but when you think about what you read, you know, I had you to turn to 2 Corinthians there, and you read chapter 5, verse 19, and we had the discussion about imputing and what that was. And now we came to the understanding that God is not charging sins to you, Lisa. You do commit sins. I do too. And there's nothing wrong with being sorry for those sins. Of course we should be sorry. We should pray to God and ask Him to, hey, strengthen me, Lord, through your word. Lead me through this word so I won't make that same mistake again. But to ask Him to forgive you of something He's already laid down His life and was brutally, He went through such agony there on the cross and went through all of that. And then we turn around and say, will you forgive me? And He's like, well, do you not understand what I went through, what happened on the cross? All that wrath that was poured out on me in place of you, every sin that you were going to commit in your life was already charged to me. I took your sin, Lisa, and the sin you may commit tomorrow, I already took that punishment and I paid the penalty. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. I, Jesus, took your death, Lisa, and I died in your place. So it's no longer about asking me to forgive your sin or worried about your salvation. All you have to do now is put your trust in me. If you believe that what I did was sufficient to satisfy the Father on the cross, then you just trust that and rest. Just be at peace and rest in what I did for you. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. And a lot of churches don't preach that, but it's still Bible.
What do they tell you when you want to get saved? That you got to ask God to forgive you of your sin. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, every church I've been to believes that.
Yeah. There's a lot of churches that don't believe that, but I agree with you. I've worked in Christian radio since 1987. I do know that if we're talking about 100 churches, about 98 do believe exactly what you're saying. But there are a couple here and there. And here's the thing. Here's the thing, Lisa. Truth doesn't rely on popularity. Truth doesn't rely on majority. Okay?
Like what Jesus said, there's a broad way to walk and yes. There's the very narrow way.
That's right. And the broad way is to come in carrying your own personal beliefs and your traditions of the church and church fathers and skipping over God's word. And that's the broad way. The narrow way is just narrow in on the scriptures. Just go straight to them for your answers and skip the man behind the pulpit unless he's speaking from the scriptures and he's decided also to leave his tradition because he's so desiring to be saturated in truth. And that's found in these scriptures, and that's what you and I are studying right here, right now. We're not talking about, well, what denomination are you? We're not talking about this or that. We're talking about what says the Word of God. So look at verse 13 in Romans chapter 11 and read that for me.
Okay, verse 13.
Yes, ma'am.
For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office.
Yeah, stop right there. Think about what you just read. Now, this is the apostle Paul. He was set aside. He was called out and set aside to be a special apostle to who? You just read it. I speak to you who?
Gentiles.
We're in the times of the Gentiles. Not the times of the Jews when they were God's chosen people. Right now, the ground is level, no respect of person. There's no man in front of any woman. We're equal before God's eyes. There's no Jew in front of any Gentile. We're equal in God's eyes. And Paul, now we read a moment ago, I had you read Jeremiah, and he was speaking to who? The house of Israel and the house of Judah. Now, Paul says, I'm speaking to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am your apostle. I'm your apostle, and I magnify mine office. You know, if you take a magnifying glass, Lisa, and you put it over the little bug, the ant, or the butterfly, you can see real close. Your focus is like high definition. Paul is asking you to magnify what he's telling you because he was given some information that is specifically to Lisa, to Trey, and to these churches today. Now, because many of them don't know that, we can't really help that. We just have to go by what God says.
Now, all you have to do is to be really safe. Let me get this straight. All you have to do, this is what I've done wrong, and I don't think Jesus would say that's really bad, like when I do bad stuff, and I'll say forgive me and all that. Now, I have heard that guilt comes from the devil, but it's really no part of Jesus. Do you believe that?
I absolutely do, because he's not, remember, you read it, and I want you to really, when we get off the phone, and for every day hereafter, I want you to think about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He is not imputing, he's not charging your sins, Lisa, to you. So how could God be guilting you of something he's not even charging to you? That doesn't make any sense. You're guilting yourself. The religious preacher is guilting you. The guy on TV, when he preaches, he's guilting you. The corner church may be guilting you, but God's not.
Wow. You know, it makes you step a little lighter, don't it, with those kinds of thoughts?
Amen.
I mean, because guilt, you know, stress over...
anxiety, high blood pressure, all the disease. You know, the word disease comes from dis-ease. And we are so dis-eased when we're all the time concentrating and thinking about our sin. Well, naturally, we are going to sin. We are in a sin-cursed body of flesh. That's why this body that you and I are in is not going to go to heaven. It's going to go 6 feet under and be a maggot dirt sandwich. It's never going to come out. We're getting a brand new body to go to heaven with. And this body is full. We're reeked with sin. That's why we have sickness in the flesh. And that's why we sometimes get angry. We sometimes sin. We have bad thoughts. That was paid for. Because you are not strong enough in your sinful, cursed flesh to do anything about it. Now, you can help it. You can walk closer to God every day. You can start to put away a sin here and a sin there, but you'll never be sin free.
Right. I mean, because he's already forgiven. He don't remember. Right?
Amen. Now, you're in Colossians 2, and that'll lead us right into this verse. Read verse 14 for me.
He has quickened together with him, having forgiven you for all trespasses.
Stop right there. How many trespasses? That trespasses means sins.
All of them.
Now, look at the word having. That's past tense. He's not saying he will. He'll do it if you'll do this. He'll do it if you'll pray this. He'll do it if you'll go down to the altar. He'll do it if you'll be a faithful tither. He'll do it if you lay in bed at night and stare at the ceiling and you ask for forgiveness after you confess every single sin that you can remember. No, it says, having forgiven you all trespasses. That was on the cross. That has nothing to do about you laying in bed and looking at the ceiling. It has nothing to do with the Catholics going to the priest in the inside the booth. He's forgiven you all trespasses, nailing it to the cross. So all those sins, he already knew it 2,000 years ago, and he nailed it to the cross. He died for your sins, every one. And now he's not imputing those sins to you. He can't, because they're not there anymore as far as he's concerned.
Well, just knowing that, people is going to be lighter in heart.
Amen.
So all I have to do in order to get saved is believe in Jesus and that he forgave me my sins. He died for us so that we, because he loved us, right? And just trust in that and quit worrying about every bad thing I do. I mean, it needs to make me feel a little bit bad, so maybe I'll change it, but not like I was.
Right.
And doubt and if I'm saved and all that according to how I act. It's about Jesus, not me, right?
Amen. That is the gospel. And the fact that we always have to include the resurrection too, because that's where we find our new life. He died for us on the cross. They buried him, and in 3 days he resurrected, and that shows proof that your sins were forgiven. That shows proof that he is God. Jesus is God manifest in flesh. And that shows proof that all your sins were taken care of, and that his new life, his eternal life that he has, can be yours by you simply putting your trust in him and what he did.
This is wonderful. I've been listening, and I want to keep listening. I had every intention of going to church, got up, got ready, got my son ready, and was ready to go. And I thought, I'm just going to listen to the radio. And I did, and the songs are amazing on there.
Oh, so you're listening to our mobile app? Okay, great.
Yeah, WTTR, yes, okay. Yes, I've got it on my phone, and I listen to it. So, thank you, Trey.
Yes, ma'am, Lisa. And let me ask you, what area are you listening from?
Whitfield County, Dalton, Georgia.
Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just, it's an odd feeling turning around your thinking, you know.
Yes.
But it's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, it sort of frees you.
Amen. It certainly does. You see, if your father had bought you a brand new car for your 18th birthday, and then you go outside and you see the pretty little red car with the bow on top, and you take it for a drive, and then the next day you wake up and you ask your father, "Dad, when are you going to get me a new car?" He's going to look at you like you're crazy. You see, Jesus, and that's what happens. See, when we keep on asking him to forgive us, that's kind of offensive, kind of like we spat on the cross. If anybody's laying in their bed, and I did it for years. If anybody's laying in their bed asking God to forgive them, if he's listening, you know what he's thinking? They don't know what I already did.
And therefore, they may not really be safe, because you have to trust in that.
Yes.
And believe in that. And no matter what people are saying around you or how the world acts, you just hang on to the fact that, yes, you're going to sin, but if you ask for forgiveness, God ain't really even going to know what you're talking about, right?
That's a great way to put it.
Well, I can get more housework done not worrying all the time. Oh, gosh, I feel like crying, really.
I know. It's a joy. And your heart, your burdened, heavy heart, just starts to be light.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
It's been...
I don't know whether to dance or cry. Oh, no. Maybe I'll do both.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Dr. Lisa. And I look forward to talking with you again, and if not, I'll see you in the clouds.
All right, that's the deal. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.